TCI Live every Saturday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern. It is truly intelligent media for the politically aware.
I want to thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution, Revolution Radio!
All right, let's show them what we got now.
Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
Well, good day, everyone. This is Dare to Think Out Loud. Today is, Friday, November 6th. I think it's 3 days after the election that didn't happen. Or kind of happened anyway. Hope everyone's doing great. We're going to be talking about that nightmare today. Got Mike Gaddy with me today. Also, John Breeson and Scorpio Dave. In order of recognition, Mike, how you doing? You can talk now.
Oh, I can talk now. Okay. All right. I am doing. Yes, I am.
Okay. John, I think you're there.
I am. How's everybody doing?
Oh, yeah. Don't ask. Anyway, Dave.
Hey,
how's
guys.
Things down south?
Just want you all to know that Groper Joe has received the most votes of any candidate in American history. All right.
Yeah, you even beat Obama, I heard. That's pretty amazing when he didn't go out and do much for, you know, rallies and things like that.
Well, he did rallies. Nobody showed up. That's all.
Oh, yeah. I guess that's true. What a joke. That's all I got to say, folks. Really disgusting. We're supposed to be, what, the biggest free country in the world? Or what did they say? The leader of the free world is the president. Anyway, what a joke. So anyway, we're going to be talking about that today, and I don't know what kind of nightmare stories people can tell us. Unfortunately, I've been looking at it all week, and before then, I was just telling the guys before we came on air that I've never really paid attention to an election as much as this one, because I knew it was going to be a nightmare, and it's kind of interesting what they're doing. Of course, John does his own, you know, research on these things. And he told me this week that Trump started his own news network. You want to talk about that, John, first?
Yeah, they were talking about that back in 2016, that the Trump News Network, as they were calling it, and it was going to go against Fox News if Hillary Clinton won. Well, we saw some incorporation papers being, released a couple of weeks ago, and the Rupert Murdoch came out, and he was like, I welcome it. I welcome there to be Trump TV. So could be more posturing. It could turn out to be a real thing. I think it really determines when Trump leaves office that it will become a real thing then. But, you know, that could be now, you know, in January, it could be 4 years from January from now, but Trump TV will likely happen, and it will replace Fox News for a majority of the conservative base. It's going to be very interesting when that happens.
Right. You know, people got upset at Fox the other night because they called Arizona like way before it was time, and I even saw that it was off, you know. So, yeah, they hung themselves. But a lot of people I see are looking at Australian news also. I forget the name of the station off mind here, but yeah, Rupert Murdoch owns Fox and that one they're looking at in Australia. Also, you know, he owns the New York Post, is it?
And the Wall Street Journal.
Oh, the Wall Street Journal too. Okay. So that's kind of just weird, but yeah, things are going to get interesting. But I think this whole election cycle is very interesting. It's a fraud. There's no doubt about that. It's going to be fun watching the lawsuits fly at this time. Dave, do you have anything to add to this Trump news thing, maybe?
Well, you know, I'm hearing a lot of reports about, oh, this is all a trap. You know, there's the secret watermarked ballots by Trump and company that's all going to expose everybody. And, you know, I hope that's true, but I just don't think it's going to happen. This mainstream media is on board 100%. Trump is trying to stop the votes from being counted. He's going against our democracy. Oh, I don't know, guys.
I've been looking at the Democrats, you know, not so much the Democrats themselves. They're obviously, for the most part, criminals, you know, and dishonest and shysters. But the people that vote for them, I mean, really? They don't question what's going on at all. The man that they voted for has Alzheimer's. He's out of it. And then the media, we have noticed, covered up for him. I just don't understand that. You have to be out of your mind to even consider him. And, you know, just they should dismiss the whole party, as far as I'm concerned, if they're acting in that, you know, that lack of mental capacity themselves, you know. But, Mike, you said it's better not to vote anyway, right?
Well, you know, if voting made any difference, they'd make it illegal, as Mark Twain once said. And if you sit back and look at this and have been studying it for years, you know that elections are irrelevant anyway, that they hold elections. It's the pacifier they let Bubus Americana suck on while they destroy his freedoms and steal his money. And so they're all in on the game. And Jefferson said, you get the government you deserve. And by damn, we got it.
Yep. Well, Twain was right to a point. It is illegal to vote. I wonder if he knew that. Seems like no one's known it since I've been talking about it the last 20 years or so. They don't want to believe it. Anyway, John, do you have any specific topics you'd want to go into?
Well, I want to mention something that Dave had mentioned about the watermark stuff that I've been seeing going around. That's been pushed by a known operative and Kissinger buddy a man who said that the Constitution was antiquated and needs to be replaced, and he wasn't a constitutional scholar. And that would be Steve Pachinik. And he said that those ballots had a special Q, some number and letter watermark on a blockchain. And, you know, don't worry, this is all a sting operation. The heads will roll and the same old QAnon bullcrap. And Pachinik's been platform boosted by that whole Stanley McChrystal, General Michael Flynn, Jerome Corsi, you know, Thomas Schoenberger, CMP Nexus. He's part of that whole crew. So he's a known disinformation agent, a known liar, and all around just horrible human being. So it doesn't surprise me that he's pushing this absolute complete garbage.
Hey, John, didn't Mike Adams jump on that train too?
Yes, he did. Thank you for bringing that up, Mike. 100% right. And he platform boosted that neocon general on Natural News to tell you all that this was all going to happen before the election. And then the CMP's meeting list agenda got released. And oh, what happened there? Oh, the same thing you see now. John Kenneth Blackwell talking about fighting the election in the courts. Rasmussen giving a speech from Rasmussen Poltz to the CMP on November 11th about what happened. And wow, the deputy official in the Department of Homeland Security, oh, I can't remember his name, he's giving a speech about uniting the country and what could happen after the election. So the CMP knew, they knew this was going to happen, and they've been telegraphing it. This is all going according to play. This is a giant play, a giant psychological operation, a giant WWE wrestling match or a soap opera or whatever you want to call it. And people are bought into it, a hook, line, and sinker 100%. Look how many people actually bought back into the beast system and went out there to vote for this election. If these votes are really that high, we really don't know. We really don't. But look how many of y'all, look how many of y'all fought back in and voted for who you thought was your guy. This is hilarious. Now, we'll say this. It is very likely and goes with the world order plan. I'm not trusting that plan like the Q-tards are. That Trump will win. And then what are you going to get after that? Well, you're going to get Operation Warp Speed. You're going to get Gervonka Amnesty. Oh, boy. Hope you're looking forward to that. I really hope you are, because that's what's coming. But Trump's our guy, right? He really is. Really, really is.
Mitt Romney even said, I think it was yesterday, he said, why don't you just let this go, Trump, and let America get on with business and let Joe Biden win, is what his attitude was. What do you have to say about that?
I mean, it seems about
how much is, I guess the question is, how much is Romney on board with Trump, or is Trump a pain in his backside?
I guess we'll see. We'll see. All I can say is all y'all who are all worried, and you have people on the right and the left, you know, rah, rah, go team, praying to God that their, you know, abhorrent leader is going to be president. It's just, look, y'all bought into the cult of personality, both the right and the left. Y'all have your appointed idols. Y'all got brought back into the system. And look where it's got us. Look, this is all going according to plan. And it's very likely those who think Trump's still our guy. Well, he's going to be president. He's going to be president. And you know what's going to happen? Not a damn thing. No one's getting arrested. They really got him by the balls now. They got the Southern District of New York, you know, sniffing up Trump's pant legs. They got Deutsche Bank calling in the loans. Even if Trump was our guy, he can't fight against that stuff. They're going to have him do whatever they want him to do.
I guess that's the bottom line. And I've said that for a while, that Trump is beholden to the Zionist. A lot of criminals, anyway. Dave, what do you have to add here at this point? You going to work for Trump TV, do you think?
It looks to me, you know, like we're going to see Groper Joe as the new president. The mainstream media couldn't be firmer on board with all this. And they're saying, oh, Trump is undermining our democratic process. He's a dictator. And here's the plan of how we're going to have to physically remove him from the White House. I just think that we're looking at a Groper Joe presidency only because I don't see how Trump is going to go through the courts and do all this. I just don't see it happening. Maybe it will. But the reason I think they want Groper Joe in there is so they could enact all of the climate change legislation, which dovetails into this COVID hoax. They're already talking about the need. We have to have a national COVID plan to combat COVID. That's the problem here. And that's just code for more lockdowns, a national mask mandate indoors and outdoors, and whatever else they feel like pulling on people. Because at this point, people will swallow anything.
A lot of people aren't. I think they've had it. You know, Trump did have upwards of 60,000 people at his rallies. Where Joe had, what, maybe 60 people? Not 60,000, but 60. So something's going on. I just don't, you know, there's got to be a difference in Trump, because it's just a nightmare right now. What's going to happen with this, you know?
William Casey.
Joe has, yeah, go ahead.
William Casey, 1981. We will know our disinformation program is complete when everything the American public believes is false. And
we live in a bit of a public, Mike.
We're there. It absolutely amazes me what Bubas will believe. And we should have known this was coming, guys, when you saw the percentage of people that would willingly harm their own health and put on a mask. And people who would close down their businesses and people who would, and now we have as many people out there who would scream at you for not wearing a mask because they are now, we've played right into the game of the social masters. These people feel like they are intellectually superior to everyone else and they know what's right. And so that is the very essence of Marxism. You have that group that believes everything the government says. And as I said last night, Dave, you will remember this. In 2001, when they realized that Americans as a society would accept the fact that three buildings could fall completely into their own footprint at warp speed, basically at free fall speed, and drop into their own footprint, and one of them, 40-some stories tall, wasn't even hit by anything. So if you can get the American public to buy into that and to go with it, you're pretty well home free, and they knew it. What I'm looking for now is what I believe is that where they like to twist the knife. These people are really weird in their heads, and when they've got you, they like to make you suffer. And I'm looking for some really crazy thing to happen, like whole case goes to the Supreme Court, and we have a 4-4 tie, and Amy Coney Barrett steps up and votes for Joe Biden. That is the ultimate knife twist, and I think that could happen.
You've gone dark. I'm not going to say you're wrong. I still think Trump's going to make it because it fits the whole Aquarian, you know, Age of Aquarius chaos agenda. But then again, that would, I never saw it that way. Huh. Maybe. That'd be crazy.
Yeah, that would be a good novel. You know, it'd be a good ending to the novel. And, you know, Mike, you're right, too, about 9/11, because if you didn't believe the official story, you were a conspiracy theorist.
Crazy world, yeah. Guys. We have, people get angry, and I don't really give a crap, but people get angry, but we're surrounded by hypocritical idiots. They claim one thing, and they do another, but they are all driven by emotions. Intellect has gone by the wayside, and as our friend Jim Ram says, a lot of that's probably got to do with the fluoridation in the water. I think that's been proved over a period of time. We've got that. We've got the public fool system. You've got the media that is owned and completely controlled by the international banksters. You've got the CIA and several government agencies, which are run by the same organization, organized crime organization. I don't really see how we could have anything much different than what we have, guys.
Yeah, and you know, the night of the election, I was watching all the live coverage, and you know, Trump was up like something like 5 points in Virginia, and literally an hour later, hour and a half later, they called it for Joe Biden. It was like, what? I think they've lost all fear. They just figured that the American public will buy whatever they put in front of them on the television. Just like now Groper Joe's getting 90% of all the votes coming in Pennsylvania. Give me a break.
Yeah, it's pretty sad. Like I said, they called Arizona before the people were even out of the polls. And that Fox did that, you know, unbelievable. Jeez, I don't know what to say. I'm just kind of speechless. Like Mike just said, people are emotional, and it seems like there's no intellect at all. And I blame social media to make that even worse. It's definitely weird. And how about, you know, Twitter? They were just shutting everything down the last few weeks. Go ahead, Mike.
I'm still looking for that thing that creates the riots in the streets. And I would like to ask my good buddy there, John Breeson, what event do you see that's going to create the riots? Because they have to have the riots. Those are preordained. So what precipitates those riots, John?
Well, I don't see Trump losing giving us those riots. I just don't. I really don't. I don't think that they can get... They've been destroying the Patriot movement for like three decades at this point. So I just don't see it. Possible. I just don't see it. So I think the only way they get those is either they continue with the coronavirus lockdowns under a Biden administration, that would cause it, or Biden loses to Trump, which I think is what's going to happen. I mean, they're already recounting in Georgia. Trump will likely win Arizona because the military ballots are the ones that haven't been counted yet, the absentee military ballots. So they're going to go mostly to him. Pennsylvania will be contested in the courts. Michigan will be tested in the courts. So my guess is, you know, you get to the middle of December, maybe late December, maybe around Christmas, Trump's declared winner and made president. That's going to piss off a lot of progressives. That's how you get people in the streets.
Well, let me ask a question to both John and all of you guys, actually. How are they going to get the climate change and the green agenda items going under a Trump administration? You know, Biden's already promised to get America back into the Paris Climate Accord and build a green economy. How are they going to accomplish that under Trump?
Go ahead, John.
Go ahead first, Mike. I want to hear what you're going to say first. Go ahead first.
The way I see it, and I know I'm not going to make any friends with this, and I don't have many anyway, but I believe what happens is if Trump is declared the winner and he takes over and is inaugurated, then it's Katie bar the door. He's going to do anything that he is told to do, climate change, seize weapons. He will do whatever he is ordered to do. He's a lame duck. And so then immediately those on the right who call themselves patriots, and I spell that with a Y, as soon as those patriots realize that Trump has sold them out again, just like every other Republican president has ever done, just as soon as they get that figured out, then their hopes and dreams will go to 2024. And they will sit on their butts and do nothing. Just the view from my saddle. Your thoughts, John?
I agree. And I also say, raise the counterpoint to Dave in that, again, if Trump's elected president, despite all the people that are like, you know, he's going to arrest all of our enemies and Joe Biden's going to prison and that same crap that happened this 4 years, it didn't happen at all during this 4 years. No one went to prison except for Manafort, who was a Republican. And then, you know, Roger Stone was supposed to, and then Flynn was supposed to. You're going to see either one or two things happen. One, they got Trump by the balls. So even though he was a puppet beforehand, but now he's definitely going to be. At least the appearance of such is going to be the case. So it's whatever Ivanka and Kushner, you know, whatever Soros wants, because Kushner is in bed with Soros, whatever he wants is going to happen. So you're going to have amnesty. Why wouldn't you have the TPP show itself back up and Trump have to sign it? Why wouldn't you? I mean, maybe the green agenda isn't needed yet, Dave. Maybe they have a war with Iran planned instead. And then you get the huge Green New Deal in 2024 when you have the most progressive candidate ever in American history elected president, someone like AOC. That would fit the bill there, too. It could just be delayed 4 years. We really don't know.
That's a good point, John. Good point.
So under Trump, you know, you get Operation Warp Speed. You'll get coronavirus lockdowns. You'll get, you know, kind of like a little bit hem and haw. And you might get war. You might get, I mean, it's all speculation. We're all speculating here. But it was my belief because the progressives would be so upset and would fit with the whole Aquarian New World Order agenda, you're going to have the most progressive candidate win for president that the United States has ever seen. The most in-your-face socialist, communist. Because in reality, as much as people say Biden is, really isn't. Kamala Harris is much worse than Biden. And, you know, whoever does win in 2024, and I do believe it would be a progressive, they probably, it'd probably be someone like AOC, so, or someone, or like an Obama. Imagine some Obama type character coming out of nowhere, someone we could never thought of, who's the most progressive communist representation that you've ever seen. That's probably what's going to happen. And then the country's going to be so at odds, so divided. And you're going to have a Democrat House and Senate by that point. They're going to ram through anything that they possibly can at that point. It's probably what's going to happen. Actually, the country might be better off if you're really looking at it. And I know people are going to knee jerk so bad that, you know, their knees are going to fall off by listening to this. But actually, if you really want to buy back into the system, which so many people have, and it's us versus them, the Republicans really have our best interests at heart. They don't. But if you want to believe that, the best outcome is for actually Biden to win. So that way, in 2022, the Republicans take back the Senate and the House. And then 2024, they take back the presidency. That's actually likely to happen if Biden wins, because so many people would be freaking pissed off on the right. But, you know, choose your own adventure. One of those things are going to happen, likely. So,
I still think something is going on with Trump, because either they're playing a real good game, like I just mentioned Mitt Romney saying, why don't you just give this up? So there's got to be some autonomy there with Trump, I would think. And anyway, that's my feelings on it. Anyway, we got a break here, folks. Be back in a few minutes. This is Dare to Think Out Loud. See you in about 3 or 4 minutes.
Did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyalty? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me
a dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their global partners are destroying the deep state criminal power structure that has ruled over our planet for hundreds of years.
We are free with the God-given rights, and we shall not yield that right to any power on earth.
Hi, I'm Scott McKay. The world is at, and I am your host on The Tipping Point. On Revolution Radio, where every Monday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, we bring you the latest in this ensuing takedown of this global criminal empire.
That's an image of strength.
You'll get the raw, hard truth here on The Tipping Point. So come join us Mondays, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, in Studio B at revolution.radio.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
want to thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution, Revolution Radio!
All right, let's show them what we got here.
All right. Thanks for listening while we take that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
Well, we're back, folks. This is Dare to Think Out Loud. Just got through one half hour of the program today. Hope you'll stay with us. We got another hour and a half to go. Talking about that wild election today. And the future and what's going to happen. I don't know. It's a nightmare. And as Mike mentioned a few minutes ago, it's unbelievable how emotional people are, and they've been trained to be. And there's no intelligence. I'm not seeing it anymore. Back in the 90s, when I got into this, there was some intelligence among people, but I haven't seen it lately. What needs to be done, I think, is people just have to ignore this whole thing. And one thing I have noticed that I didn't even know existed is the Amish are even involved with Trump. I mean, they went out and voted. More and more of them I hear are having Social Security numbers, which is total submission to the system. I thought they were pretty much a community or communities amongst themselves and really didn't care much about what the government did at all. But it seems to be that they're joining in with the populace and getting brought down to the same level as everyone else. Unbelievable. Anyway, John, do you have anything to add? You were going off on some things there towards the end of the last segment.
No, I don't know. I mean, no matter what, it's just the world order is going to continue marching on, right?
Yeah.
So at least with Biden, it's in your face and you know what's happening more than with Trump when it was buried. I don't know.
I kind of disagree with that because he doesn't know what's going on.
What do you mean?
He's lost it, man.
Yeah.
He gave a speech I heard yesterday that was ridiculous. You know, he's gone. You know, if they do get in, Harris will be in there within, I would say, within 6 months, if not less. She'll be the president, which is very sad. You know, Mike mentioned that, you know, they're rubbing stuff in her face. Everyone hates her. And she's going to be the president? That's really rubbing it in everyone's face. But I don't think they're going to do anything. Like Mike said, people just keep taking it. And well, I think
guys,
you said it, John.
Don't forget that if you have a dumbed-down populace, as we do, who thinks only on emotional levels, you know, to communicate with a dumbed-down populace, you need a dumbed-down president, and Biden fits the bill.
Yeah. Well,
yeah, and you know, I saw what John's point was about maybe they're going to wait 4 years on the climate change agenda, but they have already waited 4 years with Trump. And I think that, you know, this, if you look at the end result of this COVID agenda, it really does dovetail quite nicely with this green agenda. Because they're invading, you know, people's privacy. Hey, you can't have more than two family members over for Thanksgiving, and you can't go to church, you know, and you can't drive very far because your carbon footprint's too much. So we'll see. John made a convincing argument, but I think they've already waited 4 years. So we'll just have to wait and see.
You're talking about carbon footprints. If anyone follows this, I talked to an engineer a few years ago. It takes more energy to create batteries, for example, for these cars they want to replace the oil based engines with. So they're going to be creating more pollution to create these batteries and digging up the earth more and destroying it. So
absolutely, LB. And the other thing is disposing of those batteries is a ecological nightmare. No one ever talks about that. And you have to plug your car into a coal-powered plant or a nuclear-powered plant. Right. You can't power major cities with windmills and solar panels. It's a complete farce, and it's a joke. And the other result will be that only wealthy people will be able to afford a car.
Yeah. Well, they have the technology or, means to make nuclear vehicles and whatever, but people they're against that too, it seems. The so-called greeners or the hippies back in the 60s, for example, they were against the power plants, the nuclear power plants. So where's this all going? I don't know.
Well, these nuclear power plants really are a ticking time bomb, because if the grid ever shuts down for some reason, you're going to have a lot of meltdowns unless you keep a generator running 24/7 on those things, man. So, and the disposal of the nuclear waste is also a nightmare. But there's all kinds of technologies we could be using. Thorium reactors are quite safe and effective, and there's all kinds of suppressed technology that's out there that just they won't ever let the public have access to, because it'll destroy the paradigm that they want.
Yeah, no control. I don't know. It's kind of weird. You got these two factions fighting against each other right now, and as it was brought up by, I think, Trump, that or the people during this election, that We've been not dependent on foreign oil for, a few years now? And they want to do away with that? So, I don't know. It's just hard to understand what's going on or see it. There's just so much that needs to be seen.
They're making so much money off of it. That's why it was put in place to begin with. I do think it's a problem that some of this Green New Deal stuff is just to scare people on the right, just like gun control is, because the moment they mention gun control, who gets rich? The arms manufacturers do. That's who gets rich. In reality, with us having all our guns and as much advanced weaponry that the government has, I don't know. I'm just saying. It just seems to me, are things going to continue to get worse? Yes. Are they going to continue to implement more totalitarian control? Yes. Did COVID help accelerate a lot of it? Yeah, it did. Could it be really bad next year, worse than we could have ever imagined? Possibly. Maybe not. We really don't know at this point. I don't know.
Yeah.
If it wasn't because of COVID, I would just say that they would keep the status quo, going on and on for a while. But since COVID's accelerated things to the point where possibly might have, quarantine camps in Canada. Who knows at this point? Who really knows how bad it might get?
Hey, question, John.
Yeah, Mike, go ahead.
Where does the mandatory vaccine fit on their level of priorities, in your opinion?
It could be either very high or it could be very low. Or in the middle somewhere, I guess. We really don't know. It could be that they want to give everybody a mandatory vaccine because, pharmaceutical profits, big pharma always wins. System of control, who knows what's actually in the vaccine. Or all along, it could fail. And they're like, Operation Warp Speed was a bust, so you got to stay in your house longer. And Bezos keeps getting rich and the lockdowns last forever. And we really don't know. It depends on which way they want it to go, Mike, right? Dave and LB, we really don't know.
Well, I think so, too. And here's one of the things, and just I'm throwing this out there for what it's worth. But I'm thinking that we can tell where that vaccine priority is in the minds of the controllers, is because if they really want a blanket acceptance of the mandatory vaccine, they need Trump as president. Because if Biden mandates a vaccine, you're going to have pushback from the alleged conservative Christian right. And if you have Trump in as president and he stands up and says, come on, guys, let's be patriotic. Let's get this done. Wave a flag, salute a flag, take your shot. I think that there's a much more saturation of a mandatory vaccine with Trump than there is with Biden.
That's interesting, Mike. I hadn't thought of that. And it is Trump that keeps talking about we need the military to distribute this vaccine for some reason. You know, we have to have the military. You can't just have the regular process that Big Pharma uses to distribute everything else. We need the military. And, of course, that implies force because they're not going to be showing up anywhere without their machine guns and their sidearms.
Yeah, speaking of which, you know, the arms that the people carry just aren't worth much of anything anymore as far as protection from the government. They can just flip a switch and have people crap their pants within 100 yards and render, you know, anything useless that they're carrying. And I believe the Second Amendment is really a joke at this point. Of course, you know, you have if you don't, look at what happened to these people. I think it was in Kansas that tried to defend themselves from the mob from destroying their house. And they didn't even fire a shot, and they're getting prosecuted while these idiots are going around destroying property and not getting prosecuted. I mean, that's ridiculous. People should be up in arms about that, pun intended, I suppose.
Well, Mike made a great point about the Second Amendment last night on Terry's show.
Mm-hmm. Well, you want to review that?
Well, Mike, why don't you review what you said? Because I thought you said it very well, and it's hard to argue with.
Well, we haven't had a Second Amendment for, 70, 80 years? People cling to it like it's a life raft when it's a lead ball. And it's actually an anchor. They think that, oh, well, the Second Amendment's going to help us protect us against a tyrannical government. Yeah, right. Because here's the thing that will happen, and I promise you, you get a group of people together like Waco or Ruby Ridge again, and there's a large number, there will be a drone in the sky that will eliminate the entire process in a heartbeat. And the people on the left will cheer and think it's a great thing. I promise those things are happening. What you have in the way of weaponry, the Second Amendment ceased to exist with the National Firearms Act in 1934, because that is when they said that the military and the police can have weapons that the citizens can't have. So just look at the logic on that. Okay, if we can have better weapons than you can, who's in the priority? And how are you going to defend yourself against a government that has all of these capabilities? Why do you think they put MRAPs in the streets of America, which are military vehicles, which they basically gave to police departments? That's because the government has to have the ability to put down anything. And it was 2010, and most people didn't realize this, but when the census of 2010 was taking place, every person that was logged in to the Census Bureau, their home had GPS coordinates included on it. Now, why do you need to know the GPS coordinates of people? Why do you need to know where they are? Why is that in the census? And of course, that slipped by Bubas, and no one paid any attention. But it's very simple. You know, you've got you put these drones in the air, and they can take out anything or anybody. And that's been proved in the war zones, and that's why it was developed. You know, they don't even need to send anybody to your door, but if they decide to send someone, look at these SWAT raids. You're in your home. You're there. Maybe one or two, three, four of you at the max are armed, and suddenly surrounding your home is 60 to 70 agents from various law enforcement bureaus, and please believe me, folks, they're going to do it if they're ordered to do so. those people who believe that the cops and the military will never do that, go back to New Orleans 2005 during Katrina and find out if they did it, which they did. They even seized guns in places where there was no flood damage. Door-to-door, well-armed units. One of them on a YouTube video, one of the military people says, "Man, I never thought I'd ever have to do this. I never thought I'd ever have to shoot an American for resisting." It's in the works, people. It's already there. It's planned out. The only thing I believe, and the reason I have weapons, is because I, in the event of chaos, I may have to defend my home from roving bands of idiots like they had in New Orleans. But I am fully cognizant of the fact I do not have the weaponry to defend myself from a SWAT raid. And if you think you do, then good luck.
Yeah, you might have a couple 100% minutes.
100% right, Mike. 100% right. I couldn't say it better myself. A lot of people need to realize that. Because not even Bill Cooper could defend himself. All right?
Yeah, good point. And, you know, the other thing is, I pointed this out last night as well, that, you know, look at the pay that a lot of these police departments give their officers. Like, I don't know for every state, but, like, for example, in California, they pay officers well into the six figures just after a few years of service, so-called service, and they get to retire at 80% of their final year's pay, which usually means a pension of over $100,000 a year. That's a lot of motivation to do what you're told.
Where's all this money coming from?
The magic printing press, LB.
Oh, okay.
Actually, the keyboard of a computer.
Right, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, but someone's making interest on these keyboard actions, right? Or strokes.
Exactly. That's the key that most people don't understand. Is the bankers could give a damn about the national debt because the national debt is fiat money. They created it out of nothing. The thing that matters to them is their interest. Mm-hmm. That's why the principle is never mentioned.
Mike, a few months ago, you were talking about some founding father, not the ones that were involved in putting the Constitution in place. But I was thinking about this yesterday, matter of fact. In regard to countries not sovereign if it's in debt. Who was that? Do you remember?
Well, there was a couple of them that took that theory.
Position. Yeah.
Jefferson outlined it real well in a long letter to James Madison. Of course, you're not going to see CNN and Fox read that on the air, I promise you. But Jefferson, and this was before... this was during the first Congress, and this is when Hamilton was going haywire with all the debt. And Jefferson said that it is immoral and illegal to pass along a debt to your posterity. That it makes you lose all sovereignty as soon as you do that, because you cannot leave, and legally you can't leave a debt to your posterity. But with what we're doing with all of these debts, we are leaving all of these to be paid by someone down the road, because there is no way that we can pay back the interest on the money that is presently owed. And yes, it was Jefferson. I went around to Aunt Sally's barn to answer your question, but it was Jefferson and Henry and I think it was Robert Yates. All three okay. echoed that.
Okay, so Jefferson was, you know, a founding father that was involved in government after, you know, Patrick Henry and Yates, that you mentioned, kind of went by the wayside after they got everything installed. But, yeah, that's what I was thinking about a lot, or I think about that a lot, you know, the last 25 years. Of course, these people today don't even get that. They're just worried about voting, which puts them in bondage. And the word that comes to mind is the term constitutor. And it's interesting that it kind of has the word constitution in it, so to speak, or, you know, it follows the same language is there. And a constitutor is a simple civil agreement to take on others' debts. And if you don't agree to the debts, you know, you really don't have to pay them. And That's why I keep telling people that voting sucks you right into the system. It makes you liable for these so-called representatives' actions. And it's perpetual. And it says all these debts that are, being accumulated in Section 4 of the 14th Amendment are illegal and void. And I think the people that put this whole system together under the 14th Amendment knew what they were doing was unlawful. And that's why they had to get people to rebel. It's written right into Section 2 of the 14th Amendment that they're rebelling, and then they say it's criminal. So they have this secret formula over their heads to make them liable and debt slaves to this whole system. And as John mentioned last segment, how many more millions of people are added as a solid measure pursuant to Section 2 of the 14th Amendment as being criminals and liable for this debt? I think that this whole thing with this last election, was its purpose. I brought this to light about 20 years ago, and it took them, I think, 20 years to do what they've done. And so they got everyone sucked in, even the Amish. Now they're participating in this communist rebellion under the 14th Amendment, which that sets everyone up. And, I'm kind of upset that people ignore what I've said for the last 20 years. They just go on about their business, and Winston Churchill said it best, I think, that sometimes people stumble over the truth, but they'll pick themselves up and just carry on like they didn't hear anything or nothing happened. Of course, that's paraphrased. That's what I've witnessed, and Churchill's absolutely right on point with what he said. Anyway, Dave, you have to take off, right? In a few minutes?
Yeah. I got to go at the top of the hour today.
Yep. You have anything to add as long as you're not going to be here next hour?
Well, over. Well, on what topic were you specifically asking about?
I don't know. We've gone all over the board this segment, so.
Oh, yeah.
Just anything that's on your mind, I guess.
Well, I guess the other thing that I see the agenda in this election is to discredit the whole election process in the minds of more and more people. And, there's going to be a call very soon like, well, the system's broken. We need comprehensive election reform. I think this might be the last election or one of the last elections, because pretty soon they're going to have to unveil the new system that will be globally based. So I think part of this is that we're going to see a lot of clamoring about how the elections just don't work anymore.
Yeah, there's going to be that. But, like I wrote in my book, their goal is to tell to totalitarian dictatorships in all countries of the world. And I think that's what they might, go for. They're doing away with the Democrats. They're being thrown under the bus, as far as I can see. Go ahead, Mike.
2011, you have George Soros and the Koch brothers get together, Harvard University, and Soros commissions a book. And that book was written by Lawrence Tribe and Cass Sunstein, and the title of the book was Constitution 2020, A Revamping of Government. You think that was coincidence?
Heck no.
Interesting.
Nope. And you got the Koch brothers that wanted to through their Constitution of the State, Commission of the States. PAC with the Council for National Policy, and Mark Meckler, who founded the Tea Party, the Tea Party Patriots, with his CMP wife, Jenny Beth Martin. Oh, they've been pushing both sides to want a con and to break up the country, to destabilize it for decades.
Mike, before the program today, we talked about, these things going on. and it looks like they might get away with it if people don't become educated. But we have Trump TV coming up, so you know, that'll give us a chance to voice the truth, right?
Might get away with it. LB, what are you smoking?
I still think there's something going on there. It's not Q to me, but I don't know. Trump's got something going on. It might just be all smoke and mirrors, and that's what you're saying it is, Mike. By the tone of your voice, I can tell.
I think you forget how close Trump really is to Kushner and Chabad Lubavitch. I think you forget a little bit sometimes, I think.
It's a good dog and pony show, I'll tell you that. There's that hope thing I always talk about. There's a sliver of hope there, you know. You got to have that to get up the next day and continue on.
But hope is not a course of action nor a force multiplier. And as Patrick Henry said so succinctly, we will listen to the siren song of hope until we all become beasts.
Hmm. Well, I think that's happened. You got that guy on the Young Turks that says bestiality's okay. And, you know, that's the left. They're working on it.
The Catholic Church said homosexual marriage is okay. I mean, you know, where are we going here?
It all goes to the same place, the synagogue of Satan. That's the top of the pyramid. Anyway, thanks for joining us, Dave. We'll be back.
Okay, thanks for having me on, guys. Great discussion.
Thanks, Dave. And, be safe.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye, guys.
Anyway, that's the end of this hour. We'll be back in about 4 minutes. We got station break. Stay tuned. We'll have a lot more fun coming your way.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
I will defend myself against their tyranny. Number 3 is my radio broadcast. I'm squarely in front of the public all the time, and they all know what's going on.
Well, we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence.
Hello, my name is John Wayne, and I do a broadcast here at freedomslips.com, revolution.radio, called The Unequivocal Truth, DEFCON 1.
Freedom and fear are at war.
And folks, I assure you, we are in Defense Condition 1. As we journey perilously through this paradigm that we currently reside in, and I ask that you join me every Saturday, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, for The Unequivocal Truth, DEFCON 1.
We shall never surrender.
Anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
Or by a two-thirds majority in the case of
more... Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Look, you stupid bastard. You've got no arms left.
Yes, I have.
Look.
Just a flesh wound.
I don't believe I've seen such a display of courage, skill, nerve, grace, and stupidity.
I'll do you for that. What? Come here. What are you going to do, bleed on me? I'm invincible.
You're a loony.
The Black Knight always triumphs.
Roundtable Live Monday through Friday, 1 a.m. till 4 a.m. Eastern Time. Bring your mind, bring your ideas, bring your voice. King Arthur had nothing on us.
Hey, Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the Internet. Please help support this station so this battle can continue forward. Revolution Radio! Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
Well, we're back. This is Dare to Think Out Loud. My name is LB Bork. Finished the first hour. We're into the second, and we have Mike Gaddy and John Breeson with us. For this hour, or at least the first half hour with John. I think he's got something to do. He's a busy guy. One of the most impressive people I've seen as far as a youngin. Mike and I are a little bit older than John, but it's good to see someone fighting the good fight. Right, Mike?
Absolutely. I am so impressed with John. I was telling some folks about him today.
Yeah, it's great. He's got a lot of good friends, too. It's a tough one. I don't know if you want to talk about what happened to one of your good friends this week, John. But it just came to my mind right now when we were talking about the young people and what they're doing. It's a tough one.
A fellow researcher. I'm not going to give too many details because, you know, his family's private, but a fellow researcher and someone who I knew, Matthew North, died about a month and a half ago. And he was in his young 20s. So quite tragic. Quite tragic and sad.
Yeah.
But he was another millennial. Actually, he might have even been a cuss of Gen Z. That understood what was going on. And it's sad. It is what it is, but he won't be forgotten. So.
Yeah, in that same vein, I had someone contact me about 10 years ago, and they were trying to wake people up with the PAC or People's Awareness Coalition material, and someone called me one day and said, the young man shot himself, killed himself. Suicide because he couldn't take what bothered him most was no one would listen to him. That's what this his friend told me when he called. And I have the same problem as all of us probably have. People listening, this is a more astute audience than most people out there, the average person, the average voter. The people listening are a little more astute. So, you know, I'm sure you have the same problems, and I guarantee that because I hear it all the time. And even my brother's one of them. You know, he said, when it comes to your politics, brother, I love you, but when it comes to your politics, I just keep your mouth shut. They like to live in a bubble and ignore it. And, you know, those are the people that are causing the problems.
Hey, nobody wants you to turn off the Saturday morning cartoons.
Yeah.
Come on. Hey, John and LB, I've got a definition of the Republican Party that I would like to read for you and see if you can tell me not only who wrote it, but when it was written. So
I'm going to follow this, but I'm ready. Let's do it.
Okay. All right. Here we go. The Republicans are a party which never conserves anything. Its history has been that it demurs to each aggression of the Progressive Party and aims to save its credit by a respectable amount of growling, but always acquiesces at last in the innovation. What was the resisted novelty of yesterday is today one of the accepted principles of conservatism. It is now conservative only in affecting to resist the next innovation, which will tomorrow be forced upon its timidity and will be succeeded by some third revolution, to be denounced and then adopted in its turn. American conservatism is merely the shadow that follows radicalism as it moves forward toward perdition, unquote.
Is that tradition or perdition?
Perdition.
Okay. That's what I thought you said.
I want to say like the late 1800s, early 1900s, probably. It's not going to be something recent if you're going to be reading it. That wouldn't make any sense. I don't know who, though. I have no clue.
Well, the term revolution came out of the French period when they revolted against the government. And, of course, that was just a socialist-based massacre. And it kind of gets into what you just said about that definition, I think, Mike, about all the progress that's being done is controlled. And I've deemed that or figured that revolution means revolver, you know, like a revolver. It revolves back to the same position. Okay, so there's an evolution that happens, but the evolution is controlled by the same people that have controlled the earth for thousands of years. So anything that happens in regard to changing government is done by the hidden hand, as they call it.
Was there an answer to my question in there somewhere, LB?
I think so. I don't know.
Okay. My question was, who wrote that and when? And John gave me an answer. What are your thoughts?
I don't know. My mind, to be honest, it's on scatter right now.
Okay, so that was written in 1868 by the former chief of staff for Stonewall Jackson and a Presbyterian minister by the name of Robert L. Dabney. And he had the Republican conservatives pigeonholed 150 years ago.
Well, you're telling me he was a conspirator.
It was later than I thought it was. Darn.
1868 is the same year that the government changed. It's the same year they installed the 14th Amendment, which changed government totally. It's a different government. That's the clever thing they did with the Civil War. As I've been telling people for years, the Civil War was the communist takeover of the United States. But they didn't put a new constitution in place. They, you know, like the invasion of the body snatchers, that movie where aliens came to Earth and installed themselves into people's bodies. That's what they did with the Constitution. So you've got an alien system that's operating like it's the real one. And people do not understand that. And it looks like the original one, but it's not. And that's the basis of my work. And when I got into the movement 25 years ago, there was so much disinformation on the 14th Amendment that's what I had to research and straighten out. People have started to listen to it, but it's been overridden and by people's stupidity. That's what I was thinking about before the show, Mike. We were talking about the internet. You think it's been beneficial, or they would have taken over much sooner if we didn't have the internet. And I understand where that's coming from. And I've said in the past, or, you know, recent past even, that we've had the most wonderful tool to get the message out and, you know, take things back. But everyone's scattered all over the place. So, yeah, we might be able to hold these people off, but because no one's working together and we haven't, you know, put our own intelligence team together, it's just a mess. And plus, people don't listen. They like to take off this from the information smorgasbord, what fits their fancy, and they don't get down to business. You know, it's really sad. Anyway, flat Earth is going to fix things. Believe it in that. Go ahead, John. Why don't you talk for a minute?
I wanted to tell you guys some breaking news. Are you ready?
Yeah, go ahead.
It is very likely, according to the Attorney General of Pennsylvania, that Pennsylvania will also go into a recount just like Georgia. It's already been confirmed in Georgia. Now we have Pennsylvania going to a recount. Oh, boy. Hope you guys are strapped
in. If it's overseen, it might be something. But if they're doing their own recount, ugh.
Oh, this is going to get good. The left is going to be so mad. So mad with Trump's president.
See, that's the positive thing about this Trump thing. You know, it's like there's something there.
I don't know. Burning down stuff and then law and order. If you don't think the law and order is not going to be turned against us when we won't take the vaccine, that's pie in the sky.
Yeah, that Bennett woman, she supposedly is pro-force vaccine, I've heard.
Amy Comey Barrett also was in favor of the lockdowns. Oh, boy. Oh, boy, Mike and LB. She's our gal.
Hey, John.
Yes, Mike.
What faith is Amy Coney Barrett?
That would be Catholic.
And what faith is Joe Biden?
Catholic.
I go back to my former scenario.
Uh-oh. Hey, have you guys been paying attention to the new anti-Pope Archbishop Vigano and his letters against the papacy and him talking about the Great Reset and forced vaccines and the coronavirus being a hoax and everything? And he's kind of like the Opus Dei's version of the who they want to be the Pope, who Bannon wants to be a Pope, versus the Jesuit Francis being the Pope, kind of leading to, you know, if Vigano does end up getting the papacy, you know, it'll be the QAnon Pope. Are you guys ready for that? They're going to bring back people to Catholicism. It's going to be fun, right?
I predicted that. I saw it going back to the rulers of evil. You know, even Trump mentioned Jesus in one of the rallies recently. He looked up to the sky and said, I'm not the smartest man on earth or something. He goes, it's Jesus Christ. And looked up to the sky and said whatever he said. And I thought that was, you know, very telling. But, you know, that's part of my work. And what I've been professing for years is the rulers of evil are in control of things. And, of course, it's all tied in with the Zionist, excuse me. So it's all a team, you know, Team Lucifer, as I call it. The Vatican or the Jesuit order and the Zionist, they all work together. The Zionists work more in the background, and the Catholic Church is what controls everything. It goes back to Calvin and the fake reformation of the church. 1500s. Well, that's when they really started the New World Order into high gear, is during the 1500s. It's taken them about 500 years to get where they're at, and people are buying it. See, there's too many people out there with too many ideas, and it's screwing us up. And people need to get on the same page. That's what would fix things. And of course, you have to overcome people's not wanting to learn the truth.
That's, hey, you guys want to hear a story that relates back somewhat to what we were talking about the first previous hour?
Sure.
All right, listen to this. After a Kentucky State police officer shot and killed a suspect, a lawyer filed an open records request from the Kentucky State, you know, training and what have you for police officers. Amid the documents he received was included a training presentation for new cadets of the Kentucky State Police. There was a slideshow entitled The Warrior's Mindset, which encouraged the trainees to maintain a mindset void of emotion and to be able to become a ruthless killer. The slideshow also quoted Adolf Hitler three times. That made Hitler the most quoted man in the presentation. One quote taken from Mein Kampf stated, and I quote, "The very first essential for success is a perpetually constant and regular employment of violence," unquote. And one of the closing slides of the presentation states without explanation, "Über alles." Deutschland, Deutschland, über alles means Germany, Germany, above everything, and is part of a verse of the national anthem closely associated with the Nazis. John, if you would like the article that this comes from, or LB, either one of you, I'll be happy to send it to you.
Yeah, send it, please.
Yeah, I'd like to look it over. Sounds interesting. Yeah, I see similar things happening with what happened to Germany with America right now. Hitler was Catholic, wasn't he?
Yes, and was never excommunicated, regardless of what he did.
He was a good tool.
Mm-hmm. Obviously.
I don't want to so mention the parallels there, but you can figure that one out.
So what do you guys think is going to happen? Do you think it's going to go to the Supreme Court? Because now Pennsylvania is in recount. Now we have the Utah Attorney General saying that he's going to take time off and join Trump's team, you know, his legal counsel team.
Well, I think it's going to the Supreme Court. I think that was the reason they hustled Amy Coney Barrett, through.
Yeah, what's going to happen with that? I called our good friend Terry Dodd the other day and asked him if he knew any lawyers, because I have an idea to throw in the mix if a lawyer would do it on an amicus curiae brief. But who knows that they do it, because it exposes the 14th Amendment system. I don't know how much they like to play that game, but if it's done as a friend of the court, I guess they couldn't say much. They could ignore it, but it goes on to my belief that everyone in government doesn't know what's going on with the 14th Amendment. They believe the Constitution is the law of the land, and it hasn't been messed with as deeply as it's been messed with. And we need to start exposing that, because, like I've said for years, if people just follow what I have to say and start taking their nationalities back, which is part of communism, they've implemented that well into the reconstruction of government, that it would blow this whole thing out of the water, or to expose a lot as a matter of law, and it would put a monkey wrench in their whole works. If they, you know, claim to follow the law as they say they do. Lindsey Graham saying, you know, we follow the rule of law, and there's law and order, which John and I did a show on that a while back, law and order compared to rule of law. So I don't know. People, you know, I've said for years that, well, I didn't make this saying up, but it goes like this: no law or no law. In other words, if you don't know the law, you don't know anything. And you're going to be jerked around. And that's what's happening. People are, you know, been forced into politics, and that just is a death knell to slavery and not knowing what you're doing. And look what everyone's, you know, scurrying around right now, scurrying about, making sure their vote was counted. It's sad, man. I can imagine they're laughing at me, because my book exposes it all, and it's totally ignored. Took them 20 years, I think, to get to the point they are, though, because they had everything in a mix, a blender, you know, 25 years ago. as far as people understanding constitutional issues. And the upper end of the pyramid are the only people that know this. And I've, you know, mentioned lately that they, during the two Supreme Court seatings, Kavanaugh and Bennett, they said a couple things that hinted towards my work. It's like exposing things. Anyway, talking about Lindsey Graham, he just donated $500,000 to the Trump Fund to fight this voting thing. Isn't that great?
Yep. And it all goes according to plan, gentlemen. Let's get the organic corn out and start eating it, because this is hilarious.
Well, it's lucky Lindsey got back in there.
He was sweating bullets, you know, really thought that when Jamie Harrison brought out that plexiglass COVID divider, really, you know, many people really thought that he had a chance in South Carolina. South Carolina's not far from me. I'm only 30 minutes from the border. I've been to South Carolina a lot in my life. I go to Myrtle Beach often. That ain't going to happen. That ain't going to happen. So.
Go ahead.
As much as I just test Lindsey Graham, he won.
Yeah, he did. But, you know, they got to keep hold of the Senate, I guess. That's been iffy. You know, it's really weird how they keep Democrats in the echo chamber they're in. If people knew the truth, everyone would have voted for Trump. And they would have had a landslide. It would have been a red wave. But they, you know, between social media and the controlled media, they've got all these people confused. It's that divide and conquer thing with the two parties, you know?
But as you and I both know, LB, the voting is a crime and going into the system anyway.
Right, right. I'm just saying, in this world they live in. Of course, okay. I don't live in that world. My mind's on the other side, you know, of the fence. So I'm just saying that if the masses knew the truth, they wouldn't have voted for this clown called Joe Biden.
Yeah, but I would have further said the masses knew the truth, they wouldn't have voted for anyone.
Well, yeah, the absolute truth. I'm playing the game here. There's two sides of the coin, you know. Or the fence. There's two sides of the fence in this case. The coin is one side's capitalism and the other side's socialism. And the coin is communist.
Mm-hmm. Just like a person walking, one foot is socialism, one foot is capitalism.
Yep, and they don't know it. It's communism. There's only been a few people over the years that I've seen that kind of hint that capitalism and communism are the same thing. And like Marx said in the Communist Manifesto, the planks are what really make communism. And, you know, that's my litmus test. I don't know. People's litmus test is, oh, it's not a totalitarian dictatorship. So that's not that's communism, but that's not communism. That's not the rules. So it's unfortunate people don't understand this. And for Trump, that's, you know, people keep saying Trump's a liar. That's one of the things he's lying about, is America is not communist, or not communist, but socialist. That's ridiculous. We'll never be a socialist country. It is socialist. What do you think income tax is? What do you think getting a check from the government is?
What do you think not owning your property and having to pay property tax?
Well, that's been there since the installation of the Constitution.
Still isn't right, though.
It's not right. No, it's not. Not at all. And you can be free from that, but there's not enough people that know about it. Oh, and here's one thing that is definitely out of the Constitution, or not the Constitution, but it's in the Constitution because of the 14th Amendment for the most part. You notice during all these voting sessions or elections that the cities are always blue, Democrat. But I heard a reference, and you probably know this too, John, that the Democratic Party gets 90% of its funds from corporations. While they say the Republicans are pretty much funded by the average Joe. And the average Joe is are the red areas, which are the Republicans out on the lands, except aside the cities. So, you know, if you look at the Communist Manifesto, it says equal distribution of the population. So these people in the cities that are controlled by the Democrats are taking the money from the people in the countries or the country. And they're just playing them against each other. That's why I got out of the system 25 years ago. I go, I'm not paying for anyone's problems, you know, or what their deal is. Especially when they live in a different country, which would be a different state in the case of the Constitution. You notice no one calls it the Union anymore. Lincoln even did that. It's the nation or the country. And each state is a country. It's each state is a nation. The only time you hear Union anymore is when the president gives a State of the Union address. And they're just playing that alien thing I was talking about a few minutes ago. The invasion of the body snatchers, or the Constitution snatchers. Anyway, we got a break. John, you got to take off. Thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks, thank John. Take care, buddy.
You too as well.
Bye, everybody.
We'll be back in a couple minutes. Station break. This is Dare to Think Out Loud.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the days from this day to that for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take freedom!
The future is uncertain. I know this. Death is inevitable. I know this. But one thing is certain. As free men, it is our right to live unencumbered and in peace. And those times are quickly drawing to an end. And in these times, peace is certainly an illusion. And as the chains grow tighter, our ability to slip those chains increase incrementally with every passing moment. Inaction is no longer an option. It's time to raise our voices like a cacophony of thunder and lightning and tell the masters no more. And this is Nighthawk, and I say, for myself, no more. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, because the freedom is slipping away.
Travels to Earth through the rainbow crystal bubbles from the furthest reaches of space and time, across the dimensions, through the elements, and in harmony with the colors of the universe. Through her mastery of abstract stream of consciousness malapropisms, she weaves a web of comic, satiric, cosmic conversation. Her subjects can range from Norman, the goose next door, to astrology and earth changes, and into the deep recesses of the soul matrix. She holds a wealth of knowledge on herbs, plants, and astrology. Join Mona and her guests on Adventures of a Feral Hippie as she touches the earthly radio waves 5 days a week at 2 p.m. Monday to Friday on Studio B at Revolution Radio.
Don't
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
I want to thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution, Revolution Radio!
All right, let's show them what we got here.
All right. Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
Well, we're back. This is Dare to Think Out Loud. My name's Elvie Bork. We're on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com or revolution.radio. This is a listener-supported station, so we could use your help. If you'd go to the websites I just mentioned, you can find the donation button at the top of the page on the left, close to the left. Or you can hit the Patreon button, which is an orange-colored button on the website. Or you can send snail mail. I think it still works. The Democrats used it well this last election. Send a donation in, check, money order, or whatever you feel. Unfortunately, it goes to Michigan, where that weird governor is in control right now. But I think the mail still works there. At least they allowed Trump to do his rallies there. The idiots, Democratic governors in Minnesota, only let 250 people into Trump's rally. Well, there were thousands outside the rally. I guess they were controlling the COVID problem. Don't get me going, man. People are just so stupid for putting up with this. It's unbelievable. Anyway, Mike's still with me. Mike, we're alone. We don't have our other buddies with us. What do you want to talk alone about this segment?
You.
Me?
Yeah, let's talk about you.
Uh-oh.
What my do you problems? Mean, uh-oh? What do you mean, uh-oh?
We could. What do you want to talk about? I had a question from the chat room.
Okay, throw it out there.
They want to know how not to pay property taxes. And I've been telling people for years that to really trash this system and expose it, people should correct their status. And like I've said, people that are slaves, if they have the status of a U.S. national or U.S. citizen, they cannot truly own property, even though there's court cases that say you can own your own property under a lodial title. But the way things are these days, it's just, you know, people are so, you know, smothered by the system that it's very hard. There's court cases, one in Ohio that I remember, that said taxation on property for schooling is even unconstitutional. And this gets deep into, you know, matters. And like I've tried to explain to people, people need to start forming local law groups that used to exist like in the 90s, but it's been totally obliterated because the powers that be or the status quo has sent out disinformation agents. And everything in that respect has pretty much got destroyed, and it's unfortunate. And, you know, that's what People's Awareness Coalition was supposed to do 20 years ago, but people don't listen to me, so I don't know what to tell you. You people have to start doing something. Even Mike had a educational group. I don't know what he's doing, where he's at now. Maybe you can talk about that a little bit. But, you know, that's what has to be done. This has to go grassroots. People need to do meetings and get motivated or educated in law to take things back And politics are a waste of time. The system is communist. People just don't get it. And until they understand that, you're going to be stinking slaves. And the law's there, but no one's there to force it. And it's better if it's forced in mass or with groups of people instead of each individual trying to do it. And that's all I've seen the last 20 years of correcting people's nationality for them. They just do it for themselves. They don't try to get their community involved, which is America. That's America. Just everyone's about themselves. But they've been trained that way. Ayn Rand is the one that really started that off in the 50s. And it's divided everyone up into these little islands where they think they're the only thing that exists. And, you know, I was talking about the Amish a few earlier in this program today. They were the only ones that really have a community. And now they're being destroyed by this system. So the New World Order is winning, folks. I don't know what to tell you. And if anyone's interested in, you know, getting things going, get a hold of me. I'm on Skype at lb.borg. And I have an email, lb@packinlaw.us. God, I almost said the old one. lb@packinlaw.us. Get going. Let's talk about me now, Mike.
Thought we just did.
I just talked about them. Yeah, a little bit. You going to get a group going there where you're at now?
I have a, well, you know, I was thinking about that and talking with that about with a good friend on the phone a couple of days ago. I, over the past 25, 30 years, I have taught classes in 9 different states, given presentations in those states. Right now, I'm concentrating on Facebook Messenger. I'm concentrating with a group of 20-some people, people who genuinely want to know the truth, and they have lost their status IQ, and they are willing to actually know the truth. And just what we have been discussing the past couple of days has been the fact that the judicial system under the Constitution of the United States, the judicial system was designed to protect the government from the people. Yes. The judicial system was never designed to protect the people's rights, and people who believe that are, you know, you're in fairy tale world, because the judicial system started out from the get-go protecting the government from the people. And we were going over the trials during the Adams administration, going through the trial of several different calendar and a couple, Matthew Lyon and a couple of others who were charged under the Sedition Act, and the fact that a justice of the Supreme Court, Samuel Chase, in the cases where they were trying people for being critical of the government, he, instead of being a judge, at times became the prosecutor, and he would charge the juries, and he charged the jury that if someone said something about the government, it matters not whether it's true or false, and it matters not whether the law was constitutional or not, and you can't decide on that as a jury. You are to decide, did they say or print what we have alleged they printed? And even if it was true, it makes no difference. The court system, the judicial branch, started out from the get-go protecting the government, and they still do it. And
right.
People can't understand that.
Well, see, I could write the, or not write, read the definition or the introduction, rather, of Bouvier's Law Dictionary, and it says it right there, that civil law form is foreign to the states. And the whole con job is that they get you sucked into the citizenship. This is even pre-14th Amendment. Citizenship is the basis for socialism. It's the foundation for socialism because it sucks you into being represented by the state. The states are municipalities. They set that up under Vattel back in the 1700s. So once you accept that citizenship, you're going to be controlled by the municipal law of the state. And it got worse because they pulled in the citizens of the state into the jurisdiction of the federal government with the 14th Amendment. So now you have two municipalities you have to deal with, technically. Not D.C. per se, but the Congress. All these congressional acts, it's all private law. And you have to be a specific person or have the status of a specific man or woman to be controlled by this private law. That's why I call the 14th Amendment system the Communist Association. It's an association of people, much like when you move into a neighborhood and are controlled by the association laws of that neighborhood. And this is, it's all simple. All life is contract. That's the foundation of everything. That's the only right you have, the most prominent right you have as being a man or woman is the right to contract. And that's how they got everyone involved in this. And the political system is just sucked everyone in. And they just got millions more people sucked into this federal system under the 14th Amendment. But that's not only it. There's three points where I always where I talk about is voting sucks you in. Taking benefits from the system, Social Security, that's statutory private law thing which sucks you into the system. For example, there's many other things that suck you into it. And doing nothing, just sitting there as a lame deadhead, doing nothing by presumption or operations of law, you're sucked into the system. So that's my whole thing for the last 20 years. I wrote a book on it called The Red Amendment, and if people had that book and took it serious, this whole circus would be over within a month. But no one's interested in fixing it. They're just interested in listening to these clowns on the television or on the internet and keep this thing going, sustained. And it's just, like I said a minute ago, everyone's going to remain a slave. That's all there is to it. That's all I see. And I think you see the same thing, Mike. The distractions.
Well, you mentioned contract. I have a question for you, LB.
Yeah.
When the states wrote their ratification documents to join the Union in 1789-88, when they wrote those ratification agreements and sent them in, and the government, central government, accepted those ratification agreements, did that constitute a contract?
Not for each individual, I believe, because there was no, the people didn't have a referendum to approve it. So it's all by presumption. You brought up something interesting in regard to Thomas Jefferson, what he wrote in the Declaration of Independence about the consent of the governed. You know, what's that supposed to mean? You think it's an individual. It could be. It could be argued to be an individual, but it might be a state like you were just talking about. So what is it? No one's ever known. There's a guy in Texas named Harmon Taylor that did the research on the Constitution of the states, and he said maybe two of them had the approval of the people that lived in the state at the time of its, development or statehood. So everyone's living in a fictional world based on they don't know who they are, they don't know what the law is, and they're getting screwed over by their ignorance. And they seem to want to stay ignorant. I just don't get it. So does that kind of answer your question?
How could that not be a contract? Tell me how it's not a contract.
It's not a contract. It's done by presumption.
Okay, the state legislature sends in a group that was picked by the people of the state. They select delegates. Those delegates go to a ratification convention. They prepare a ratification document, send it to the federal government. The federal government accepts it. They become a state. How can that not be a contract?
That is a contract for the state and the occupation. But like I said with the Constitutor issue, how do you agree with that? Just by silence, it's by presumption. So anyone that was in that state, you know, unless they had a referendum, which they call a plebiscite, you know, there's really nothing that can really be held against the individual. There's no contract. Your existence in that state is you know, there's this guy named, I can't remember his name. It's I think he's in Michigan or Ohio. Pete Hendrickson, that's who it was. He always said, I'm the sovereign, I make the rules. That's true to a point, okay? That's what I believe. When we correct our nationality, we're technically making the rules. We're agreeing to that contract, but on our terms that they've laid out for us, you know, not presumption of all these private laws apply to you, but that's what the citizenship does again. So what the states have to do now is have a referendum and get their own federal government, because this federal government was installed by, it's an enterprise by private parties. It never was really actually the peoples of the states. I'm going to, you know, I'm talking on a broad basis here, but I hope I'm answering your question to a point. The states themselves were given statehood by the federal government, you know, the 13 colonies that weren't instituted, the states afterwards were given. That's why I say these people, you can't ignore the federal government, because if you're going to look at the sequence of title and how the states acquired their property or their territory, you have to agree to the United States existing. But as Jefferson said in the Declaration of Independence, the rights of the governed have they have the right to abolish their government.
LB, wait a minute. Now, you just said that the government created the states. You're taking Abraham Lincoln's position. The states created the federal government.
Yeah, that's correct. And you can see that in the 13th Amendment. The language is totally different from anything that's done after the 14th Amendment. It says subject to their jurisdiction instead of subject to its jurisdiction. That's the new Constitution under the 14th Amendment. If you look at any act of Congress, it says its nationals, not their nationals. That's my whole thing that I've explained to people in my work and my book. You take your nationality back. Destruction of countries and nationalities written right into the Communist Manifesto. Of course, as your work has shown, they wanted all this done prior to the 14th Amendment and the Communist Manifesto. So they sealed the deal, so to speak, with the 14th Amendment. They corrected anything that they couldn't get away with, you know, when they put the Constitution in place. And like I say, people have to take their nationalities back to get this thing going in the right direction. Sorry about that, Mike. You could have said something. You still there?
Yep. Hello. I'm here.
Okay. I had a phone call. Someone delivered something to the wrong location. Anyway. So, yeah, if you want to tear this thing up, start taking your nationalities back. Of course, you can't be a socialist. You got to, you know, toe the line. That's what needs to be done. People start taking back their countries from this communist system. And everything will work out fine. Mike, you see the people of the world looking to the United States to be the beacon of hope and liberty, right?
Not anymore.
Yeah, it's a joke. So I mean, where is the control coming out of besides The synagogue of Satan's fake Israel.
What's the difference in the definition? Are people any less slaves under COVID legislation than they were on a plantation in 1860?
Not really. Look at this evil woman from Michigan, for example. Look what she did to the people of Michigan. And she's still doing it. She's taking your business or fining the hell out of it if you don't follow her rules. And that gets back to what I've been telling people they were going to do. That's the communist goal, or the New World Order, whatever you want to call it, is to have totalitarian dictatorships in every country of the world. Well, she's got her own country there, and these stupid U.S. citizens are letting her ride herd over them because they don't know their own law. And, you know, we've seen the cases where all these, they don't have the power. She doesn't have the power to do that. She can't write an executive order that's been through the courts. Well, my belief is that the president has the ultimate control over all the states. We've been under martial rule for 150 years based on this.
Wait a minute. Did you say that the president has the ultimate control over all the states?
Yes, he's a dictator. People don't understand that. That's what executive orders are all about. They're going out outside the jurisdiction of what the federal government originally has power over.
In other words, even for all of its flaws, the Constitution doesn't exist.
It doesn't exist right now. Who is Obama's attorney general?
Holder.
He said that you have the right to due process, not judicial process. That's 14th Amendment, the system, the agency system, the overlay system that was put in place under the 14th Amendment. These agencies didn't exist before the 14th Amendment. That's the communist overlay. If you look under Title 1, Section 2, it says the counties are part of the federal government now.
Hey, LB, since you were mentioning those wonderful Bolsheviks in Michigan, let's look at everyone's favorite Bolshevik, AOC, in the U.S. Congress. Did you know that she has introduced a bill called the Public Banking Act? And it would create federally funded, government-owned banks across the nation to hand out loans at low interest rates to the, quote, unbanked and underbanked. Both cities and states on the verge of insolvency could also take advantage of the easy, taxpayer-funded loans provided by these banks. Where are we going with that, buddy?
Oh, we talked about that earlier in the program today. That's why I asked about that statement by, you said Jefferson and a couple other founding fathers talked about, that the state is not free or autonomous if it's got debt. And I'm not part of that debt. Sorry, I didn't agree to it. I'm not a constitutor for these criminals in D.C. or the states right now. I'm not their slave. So as long as, like I said in my book, as long as people of America are enjoying communism, they're going to be in perpetual bondage. And like I said, I believe Section 4 of the 14th Amendment says all this stuff is illegal and void. So when people want to get busy doing something about this, instead of voting for their favorite insurgent, rebellious slave master, we can get down to business, but nothing's going to change until people get their heads out of their ass and stop listening to these idiots talking about flat earth. I got in an argument with someone last night about David Icke. You know, he was saying, oh, this is what they're doing. This is what they're doing. Yeah. I said what was going to happen 20 years ago. And this guy's chasing lizards. It's ridiculous who people listen to. It's just unbelievable. Too many cooks. Or no, I mix that idiom up. Too many chiefs and not enough Indians. Anyway, Mike, tell people who you got on your program Sunday.
Sunday, thanks for asking.
Yeah.
I've got four members of my class on Facebook Messenger. We're going to have a roundtable discussion. It's a widely diverse group, a gentleman from California, a gentleman from Alabama, a lady from Arkansas, and a gentleman from Arkansas. And they have been part of my study group for quite some time now. And we are going to have a roundtable discussion Sunday, 6 o'clock, Revolution Radio Studio A, Addicted cool. to Your Own Destruction.
Great. Thanks for joining us, folks. We'll be back next week. My program's on Tuesday at 6 here at Revolution Radio Studio A, The Ultimate Remedy. Have a good weekend. Be safe.
Thank you for listening to Revolution.